I've been arguing that while our future is global, we here in the so-called West have a particular role to play attendant upon our greater responsibility. And as sheer happenstance has placed me in the U.S., I feel bound to attest that our codified right to pursue happiness. The Declaration of Independence says that, quote, whenever any form of government becomes destructive of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, unquote. And this is language Bentham warned against, by the way, as it suggested precisely what we'll see Victor Hugo is advancing, as we'll talk about in a minute. An equivalence in significance for determining our lives between the demands of the body politic and the demands of the soul, which demands for love equal standing. That our codified right to pursue happiness is an advantage that carries with it even greater responsibility, perhaps the greatest of them all, the honor of being first to forward as a mass the demand for an end to concentrated power and a welcoming in of global freedom. But I will gladly follow Egypt if it should be that way, that it ends where it began. Last week I argued, as I did earlier in Revealing Division, that a key barrier to achieving our global solidarity is the fondness of mind workers, quote unquote, for inventing ideologies, contributing unconsciously and so unintentionally convenient content for powers con that the world must have division because technological complexity requires it. When rather, I believe the truth is that we all are bursting with creativity and that power exists by stealing some, a very small sum, of our creativeness, then elevating it in the market, calling it wealth and pricing it high, then telling us the market is responsible for its existence, that we are driven because of it to be creative, and that the further goad of keeping products, quote unquote, wealth private is the companion piece, a linked necessary for creation even being in the first place, then uses the scam entire as whip to drive us. This is the view of things power never allows us to see and think about. But take the measure of this story as compared to power's tall tale, and we'll find it fits the facts of our lives very well. See, no adjustments needed, no tweaking, bending, or cutting out wholesale of these facts, and that it's the story we should use because it's true. And the biggest snipping out of all in power's house of horrors is the burying of true wealth in suppressing the true power of the people. And it occurs to me I should clarify that when I say that the market prices mind work high and hand work low, this is obviously a tendency that has been centuries in the making. It's already a trend well in place. So in fact, is effectuated simply by making sure that hand labor, the work that brings us our food and fuel and everything we need to literally exist, to make sure that is priced low by beating down people. And true, no, that is quote unquote not the market. That's often the extra legal action of states. Often hidden states, often shadow states, but the result is what we need to be looking at. Not the terminology, not the language, which power owns and is now using, has always used since it owned it, to confuse us, lead us astray,